this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I'll be reading the verses. Oh boy, it's wrong in the bulletin. Exodus chapter 14, and I'll be reading the first 13 verses. I got the verses right. Chapter's wrong. Let us give careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Phi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh of Egypt so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Phi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to this desert to die? Why have you done this to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Thus the reading of God's word this morning. For you to understand our passage this morning, you must remember the context of what is happening to the Israelites. God has just delivered them from 400 years in slavery. They have lived in slavery under the rule of Pharaoh and his Egyptians. They have been their masters. They have been their lords. They followed their orders. They built their building projects. They worked for them. But God sent the plagues upon Egypt. And in that final plague, the 10th plague, the death angel of the Lord went all throughout the land of Egypt and destroyed the firstborn. But the Israelites were spared. The Israelites were spared and saved from this judgment of God by the blood of a Passover lamb, blood that they sprinkled upon their doorposts to protect them from the judgment of God. And as Pharaoh and his people suffered from this great, great penalty of death, they called the Israelites to leave. They forced them out of the land. And Israel has now become a people that has been saved by the grace of God. And now they are in the wilderness. They are on their way to the promised land, and they are wandering in the wilderness, and God is leading them by a pillar of fire and a cloud during the day. God is guiding this wilderness people. God is directing them. God is leading them as they go to the promised land. But as a wilderness people, they encounter much trouble and difficulty in their journey. They are going to have times in their wilderness journey where they are going to feel like God has abandoned them, where they are going to feel like God is not leading them in the right direction, where they are going to question God's leading in their lives. Well, they are going to wonder if He really loves them, if He is with them. They aren't going to understand what He is doing to their lives, and they are going to question Him. And as we will see today, God has a very important answer for Israel. God has an important answer for this wilderness generation. That despite what happens to them on their wilderness journey, they are to trust Him. They are to believe that they are His. And that God knows what's best for them. As we look at these verses this morning, you will notice that there are two plans. The first plan, verses 1 through 4, is God's plan. The second plan, verses 5 through 9, is Pharaoh's plan. But as we look at these two plans and we compare and contrast them, we will see that God's plan is also what Pharaoh is doing. God is in control of our text. God is in control of this situation. He is in control of His people. He is in control of what Pharaoh is and what Pharaoh does. Look at the first few verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Phi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon." Now you notice this morning that in these verses, there is specific direction where Israel is to camp. There is not just some information that they camped near Phi-Hahiroth. Doesn't matter. But there is specific direction where they are to camp and where this camp is. There is the sea on one side of them. They are to camp near the sea. They are also to camp directly across Baal Zephon. Not just anywhere near the sea, but in a specific spot and in a specific place. This is again reinforced in verse 9. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped where? By the sea, near Phi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. God wants us to see specifically where Israel is camped. It is not just a coincidence that they are camped in this spot. God has put them near the sea so they can't run. God has put them at this place near the sea because God knows that there are mountains surrounding them and they are a people who will be trapped. If Moses were to lead these people and he had a map of where he should go, this is not where Moses would bring the people. This is not a safe place. This is a place where they can be entrapped. This is a place where they could be surrounded by an enemy and easily destroyed. This is not a place they would normally go. But God has given specific direction. This is where God wants them to be. In fact, so foolish is this place that verse 3 tells us that even Pharaoh knows this. God tells us that Pharaoh will think this. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. God knows that when He puts Israel, His people, in this specific place, Pharaoh is going to think that they are foolish. Pharaoh is going to think that God has put them in a place where He easily can come and destroy them or take them as slaves once again back to Egypt. They do not have a fighting chance in this spot and in this place. But this is God's plan. God wants Pharaoh to think this. In fact, in verse 4, the Lord tells us more about his plan. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. It is God's plan to harden Pharaoh's heart. It is God's plan to direct him to come to this place against Israel. And it is God's plan to glorify himself through what is going to happen there against Pharaoh and his army. And so, in the next few verses, we read Pharaoh's plan. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. Pharaoh is doing exactly what God planned. Pharaoh is doing exactly how God has set up this situation. He has put Israel in this specific spot so Pharaoh will think that he has a fighting chance, so that Pharaoh will see that, so that Pharaoh's mind will be changed. God allows the evil intent of Pharaoh to once again come out. God had suppressed it in letting the Israelites go, but once again God has removed his grace from Pharaoh, and God is letting evil Pharaoh do what evil Pharaoh wants to do. And what evil Pharaoh wants to do is destroy God's people. And so Pharaoh does what God has planned. And our text doesn't let us forget this, does it? Look at verse 8. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Phi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. God is in charge of this story. God is in charge of what Pharaoh is doing. God is in charge of what the Israelites are doing. God is directing this story. This story is happening as God has planned. God is allowing the evil in Pharaoh's heart to go. God is bringing the Israelites to this place. And now the question is, how are the people responding to this? Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert." The Israelites are looking at this situation that God has placed them in the wilderness, and they feel as if God has abandoned them. They feel as if God's leading has directed them to nothing but trouble. They feel that trusting the Lord has brought nothing about trouble to their lives and to this situation. They feel as if God has put them in a situation where the circumstances are overwhelming and God is not able to help them, but he leaves them to suffer the consequences on their own. In fact, so much is their faith tested at this point that they claim that living the way they did before God saved them was better than living saved by God's grace. Bring us back to Egypt, they said. It would have been better if the Lord had not saved us at all. And so Moses answers the people. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. There are some commentators who say at this point about these verses that Moses must have known some inside information. That somewhere, the text doesn't tell us, God must have told Moses about the Red Sea, and that God was going to raise the waters of the Red Sea and that Israel could walk through. That is why Moses can speak so confidently here of the Lord's deliverance. But our text tells us nothing of that. It isn't in our text that God tells Moses about the salvation and the way God is going to bring it. It isn't in the text anywhere that God tells Moses exactly what is going to happen and why he is putting Israel in this situation in their life. It's not there. Moses answers the people this way, not because what God has secretly told him. Moses answers the people this way because he trusts in the promises of God. Because Moses knows who God is. Because Moses knows that God doesn't abandon his people. Because Moses knows that God doesn't put people that he loves in circumstances which is overwhelming for them, that they have no way out, and that God saved them only to destroy them. Moses knows that life in Egypt before the people were saved is much worse than anything they face in life after they have been saved. Moses trusts in the promises of God. God's promise of his covenant was that he would save his people after 400 years in slavery. God's promise of his covenant was that he would destroy the enemies of his people and his very enemies. The promises of God's covenant is that he will deliver them through anything they face in their life. Moses knows that God has brought them here for a reason. A reason that is testing for their faith, but a reason which calls them to trust in the Lord and in his deliverance alone, because he alone can save them. And that's why he can say in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. How many of you in your life haven't at times, many times, felt as Israel did? How many of you haven't felt as if God has led you or brought you into a trap? How many of you haven't felt as if God has abandoned you? Or you questioned why God brought this in your life and did this for you, only to later destroy what he gave you? How many of you have not questioned the circumstances that God has put you in your life? You see, this story before us this morning is not just a Sunday school story that we tell our children of what happened long ago and what God did to a people who lived long ago. This is a story about God's people. This is a story about our lives. This is a story about you. It is you who have been saved. It is you whom God has saved through Christ. He has sent His Son to die on the cross. He has raised His Son from the grave. He has worked in your life so that you know Him, so that you believe in Him, so that you live knowing that He has paid for your sins. You are the Israelites who are saved, and it is you who are in the wilderness. God has the promised land ahead of you. Someday, because you know Christ, because God has saved you, you know that you can go to heaven to be with Him. But you're not there yet. You're still on this earth in the wilderness. And the prince of darkness is still there to taunt you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul tells the Ephesians church these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our Pharaoh is still out there. In the book of Exodus, it is Pharaoh who represents God's enemy, who is the devil. It is Pharaoh who oppresses God's people. It is Pharaoh whom God allows things to happen so that he brings trouble upon God's people. We still have an enemy. Even though we are God's saved people, God allows the devil. God allows the forces of evil to still come upon the Christian as they wander in this wilderness. And as God's people, how are we going to respond to these things? When trouble comes upon the Israelites, they begin to question God's leading in their lives. They begin to question whether God has abandoned them. They begin to wonder if God has saved them only to destroy them. They claim that it was better before they were saved than it is now. And as we read Exodus 14, the text is screaming out to us, don't be like the Israelites. Don't question God. Don't feel abandoned. Don't want to go back to where it was before you knew Christ. But the text is calling us to look to our leader. Israel's leader is Moses. Our leader, our Savior, is Christ. And it is Christ who tells you, the Christian, living in the wilderness, whom God allows the forces of evil to once in a while oppress you. It is Christ who tells you, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, well, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. God has given you Christ. God has given you His Word in which Christ speaks to you in this wilderness. God has given you a preacher to preach the Word that you are called to come and hear what God has to say. God has given you the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in which you can identify with the visible Word of God as He brings it to you. and that scriptures, those sermons, are about what Moses tells them. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. During the last few months in this church, there are a lot of people who've gone through a lot of different things. Whether it is a physical ailment, some of those have even been somewhat serious. Whether it is family troubles, whether it is marital difficulties, whatever it is, these things happen to God's people. And during the week, I don't know how many times in the last few months, I haven't been asked these same questions. Pastor, why are these things happening to me? Why has God allowed this situation to come upon my life? Where is God? Has He abandoned me? Here I've trusted Him, I've followed Him, and the whole way through it's been nothing but trouble and more difficulty. I don't know if I can trust Him anymore. Sometimes I wonder if it was better before I knew Him. And as Christ's servant, I have found myself saying again and again these same words of Moses. I don't have the answer. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why God has brought this in your life. But one thing I do know is that God is faithful. That God doesn't abandon His people. That God has led you here to teach you and to help you grow. I know that you must not reject the risen Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that you testify in Him. I know that God is faithful to His covenant that He has made with Christ. I know that as you trust Him, God will deliver you. This is what Moses is telling the people. This is what Christ tells His people today. As things come in your life, as you find yourself trapped as Israel, always remember who is in charge. Who is in charge of your spiritual journey? It is the Lord. Who is in charge of what is happening to you? It is the Lord who is allowing it to happen. Who is the one who will save you? It is Christ alone. You are to stand firm. You are to live knowing that the Lord will deliver you. And you are to stand still. Trust in Christ. He will save you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for what we can read this morning about the Israelites. And Lord, we see so clearly our own lives. Lord, You know what the people here are going through. You know and understand what has happened to them in their lives because You, in Your providence, have allowed it and are in control. And we pray this morning, Lord, that whatever it is that we go through, that we would not be a people who cries out to You as if we've been abandoned, as if You've left us, as if You've left us to deal with the whole situation alone. But that, Lord, we would be a people who listen to our Savior, who tells us by His grace to stand firm, to trust in You, that You know what is best for us. And help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon Him who brings us to heaven. Oh, Lord, we know this is not easy. We see how the Israelites fell so quickly after their deliverance. We pray that you would give us, as your people, the strength and the faith and the trust to do this all the time. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.